Right now it is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It's time for Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy. He brings over 40 years of experience to those subjects and much, much more. And he joins us on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Good morning. And I used to work in a coal mine to provide power to... Anyhow, let's begin with a little levity, though. There's a certain fear and sadness to it. Donald Trump was told us that the 1918 pandemic ended the Second World War. You may or may not know or recall that the Second World War began in 1939 and ended in 1945. Now, we're doing a fact check on this, and we keep coming up with that same fact. So I guess the great Blaviator will correct his mistake.
Well, it's so interesting, Jim, you talk about that, though, and he has no staff around him to protect him. Most presidents have a staff around them that are there to protect him, and when they do something like this, they prevent it from happening, not that it happens all so often, but there is nobody that speaks up to this guy and lets him know that, you know, the stuff you're saying is just plain out of fantasy land.
I know. I'm forced periodically by my better half to watch some of his press conferences, which I abhor. I frequently feel nauseous. But I do, and I guess we all do to a degree. I have ceased trying to get humor from them because it's so serious and it's so dangerous. The man obviously has... he's somewhat deranged, and I don't think you need to be a psychiatrist and anybody else to figure out someone who can't put two sentences together has some problems, particularly when he is in a very large, important office that you should be prepared, or as you said, you should have a staff helping you. But it's like a person who's sick and doesn't want to admit they're sick, and they have doctors and nurses and others around them, and they constantly refuse to listen to them. And in the case of someone who is in power like Trump is, he basically scares all these people and upsets them. So we have a very serious situation. On a practical basis, it just continues to happen. The post office, which is enshrined in the Constitution of the United States as a service, not as something to make money, it's now been handed over to a fellow named DeJoy, D-E-J-O-Y. The man has contributed millions of dollars to Trump's campaign. He has, and he is now the head of the post office. He has businesses which compete with the post office, and without any reports or study, he's laid off 23 executives of the post office, and has cut back on overtime. The key to this, which is really detrimental to our overall nation, and I'm putting aside this attempt by the government, the administration, to distract the mail-in voting. We have people, veterans, sick people, who get their drugs by mail, and their drugs have been delayed by days, in some cases, I guess, a week or more. And why is this important? Well, because as if you take any kind of drugs, including aspirins, you knew you have to do it on a timely basis. And so we now have a lot of people with PTSD and things of that nature that are not getting their medication on a timely basis. This is causing another health crisis and is indicative of a government that is flailing to cause more problems, so that when they attempt to take over the government through whatever means they try, everybody's going to be all upset. So write your congressman and your senator, because this thing is going to get worse when you stop your service by, we'll say, 10-20%. Which is probably overtime, and I'm guessing then there's a backlog that builds and builds and builds. So the situation with the drugs gets worse. And before I finish this part, I just want to point out that the violence happening here in New York City has skyrocketed. This violence that comes without any arguments. We had a guy in 72nd Street and Broadway, which in New York City is a very significant subway stop. He just went up and stabbed a woman in the back for no reason. Thankfully, she's okay. But more and more, they're finding people do not have their drugs. And we're a large population in the city with a lot of people who need drugs. And this is another national health crisis that is in the making. So please write in and pay attention. And pay attention to what's being said. Some of these things are thrown off as jokes, and they're not jokes at all. One other thing before I turn it over to the two bosses. The Environmental Protection Agency has admitted that it's lost records on studies it's done on water quality, and it's dismissing the loss because of the pandemic. Now, we both, all of us know that this is a lie, a continual lie, that the government doesn't want to own up to its responsibility. So this is getting down to bottom line stuff. Getting down to health. Forget the politics. Getting down to health.
Well, it all ties together when you look at what's going on with the Postal Service. And, you know, I'm tired of people saying that the Postal Service doesn't pay for itself and doesn't fund for itself. If you look back in history, the Postal Service makes more than enough money to pay for itself. What the United States government decided to do with the Postal Service, which they didn't do with anybody else, was they have to prove that they can 100% finance all their retirees out 25, 30 years. There's not one other branch of government or semi-government that does that. And the Postal Service also has their budget raided all the time. And so now you have even more put pressure on the Postal Service. You know, people seem to forget that the Postal Service, when you come right down to the aspect of it, it is an amazing service that is in your hometown, and it does something on a daily basis that keeps you all connected, and how important it is, once again, for the Postal Service to have that separation of power. And right now you have somebody put in power of the Postal Service who is a friend of the president, a believer in the president, and is going to do all they can to limit the power and the progress of the Postal Service to deliver those votes by mail. It's so obvious. Anybody that denies that is just not looking at the proper way. And I have friends that don't believe that. But just look at what's been done recently to the post office and this big fight over voting by mail, which people have been voting by mail in this country for a long, long, long time. So it all adds up. The Postal Service, for what they do and how they have to do it, is truly one of the amazing services that our government puts out, actually.
Amen. I worked in Wall Street for many years, but in my heart of hearts, I think I'm really an old union man. I'd love to see the Postal Service go on strike, a wildcat strike, and go on the strike for a week and see what the government wants to do. I would say my demand would be an increase and a proportionate increase in wages, in health care, and pension benefits. And it's only going to be this kind of hardball thing in this situation that's going to stop Trump and his people, because very key, and it shows you the lack of thought on the part of Trump and the government. The people who really get affected in droves, absolutely need the post office, are the rural communities of America, many of which are in Trump's base. And basically, these people, they don't have broadband. They have only the post office. And so they're going to be real out of luck in terms of communication with their loved ones, businesses, things of that nature. So this is going to be a crisis here. I suggest the post office bring it to a head, put it to them, have everybody get all upset, have Trump yell and scream, and then they settle, and they go back to what they were doing, if not more wages, to where these people get on them. These people get overtime. Why do they get overtime? Because the demands on the post office are enormous. And the point is, people are not refusing the overtime, even though they might work, particularly at holiday time, 24/7. Rather, they're going and doing their job. And so, if we're going to put them down, then we're going to have big problems. By the way, along those lines, the people who basically are our front line in the healthcare, they're beginning to not that much of a digression. They are losing a lot of their young people in the ER and assistants and so forth because of the tremendous weight put on them having to work around the clock. We have to pay attention to this. Our basic services are being threatened by the ineptness of this administration.
It's a wild thing to look at where we stand here now on August 11th when it comes to what's going on with our administration. But, you know, it's also a worldwide view that you take a look now at what's going on in the world with the economy and with the COVID-19 virus. And more we're finding out that as every day goes by, we learn more about the virus that we didn't know before. And we as a country have been an absolute failure. Now, you can try to deny that, but take a look at every other country in the world. There are very few countries that have fouled up on this worse than the United States. We're now approaching 160,000 dead Americans due to this, and who knows where it's going to end, because there just seems to be no national presence with it.
No national presence. And okay, if you didn't have a national presence, that's one thing. But the leader of the country is basically saying, this is going to go away, no problem. That person is saying, hey, we're doing better than any other country, when the figures, as you just mentioned, totally deny that. This thing can get even more serious, and it goes something like this. When this pandemic originally hit back in January, February, Trump, who doesn't want to take responsibility for anything, felt he was going to be blamed for it. Why? I don't know. He's stupid, okay? But it happened. So rather than getting on it, he took at least a month or more to begin being serious about it, denying it, giving Jared Kushner an opportunity to try and make money on the products that you use in combating this thing. And so we lost almost 2 months. As a net result, we've lost more people who have died than need be, based on facts, folks. It's facts. It's not fake news. It's facts. Look at the chart that shows Europe versus the U.S. Now, here's the problem. He continues to stall, deny the situation. Now we're at a point where he's beginning to deny the need of people economically. So what you could be seeing is, if he cannot get it together or the Republicans can't get it together, we're liable to go into a depression, because the people who are out there who are getting this lousy $600 a month extra, these are working people with two kids, education, car insurance, et cetera, et cetera. They have no largesse in this payment. They hate the payment because they're not working. So if you make the situation worse economically and health-wise, those people basically are in a hole, which they probably won't be able to get out of for quite some time. The net result is, as we know, the economy is fueled 70% by people who buy things every day, be it food or clothing or whatever. They're not going to be around. We get these little spots, like real estate's doing better in certain areas. Why? Because people want to abandon cities. That's not a sign of growth. That's a sign of panic. And on that, and I'll turn it back to Marshall, What a statistic I saw yesterday. 10,000 American citizens have given up their citizenship in the first 6 months of this year. The contrast is last year, for the whole year, only 2,000 people did. Some people do it for taxes or whatever reason. But we have going through the economy now a tremendous fear of this government and what it is doing to people, their health, the economy. We've lost credence with the rest of the world. All of a sudden something happens in Beirut and, oh, well, we're going to try and help out. How about helping out our own country? You have to take care of yourself first so you can take care of others. This country, which is run by this administration, is not taking care of itself first. It's pitiful, the lack of testing. It's pitiful, the lack of a plan. Now, Cuomo is now head of the National Governors Association. He's got eight states that are getting together to start doing things like testing in various places throughout the country. Cuomo also is quarantining people who come in or try and come in from other states. That's a plan. Cuomo has said that the schools don't reopen unless they give him a plan that makes sense. Trump is out there saying, oh, open the schools, open the schools. We need the economy better. He has no plan. If you want to see him in person, ask for a tour of Bellevue, the mental area, and go in and just listen to the sounds of those poor people babbling. That's what you have in terms of the person running this government. Yes, yes, be fearful of this administration.
You know, looking at the economy, and here's one thing that, not necessarily, I'll be honest with you, I was a little shocked when I saw that people who got unemployment at $200 a month got an additional $600 a month, because for a certain amount of those people, yes, it does kill the incentive to go back to work. Now, I'm not saying a large incentive, but there's a certain number of people that will just sit back there and collect that money. But here's one thing that every economist will tell you, whether it's on Fox, whether it's on CNBC, whether it's on MSNBC, whether it's on CBS, that when people get a check, like when the $1,200 checks were sent out for the stimulus package, people take that $1,200 and put it in the bank and use it for certain things. When people receive unemployment checks, that money goes right back into the economy, 100%. It is not put away for a rainy day. It is put away to support people living their lives on a daily basis. And so that money goes back in to help the economy. Now, since August 1st, there's been 10 days now where that money has been absent from the economy. And you will see, it might take a week or two for the figures to show up, but you will see a drastic effect on the economy. States cannot be left alone to provide the additional money for unemployment. It's just not possible, because the states have been left alone right now to supply their own money to deal with the COVID-19 crisis. The federal government, the one positive thing about a federal government is that it has the ability and the wherewithal to take on major crisis. It has that ability. And right now, our government is not using that ability to help us out of the COVID-19 crisis or the economic crisis. It is using it to basically, once again, help people who make more money. I mean, this payroll tax deduction idea of the president, how is Medicare and Social Security funded? Do you know? Out of payroll taxes. Social Security, it comes out of payroll taxes. If you stop that, you stop money going into Social Security. People don't realize that.
As I said, be fearful of this government. Yeah. They're going to bring us down. Somebody's got to step in here. Somebody's got to step in. Trump must go. The 25th Amendment, another impeachment, he must go. He is hurting the American people. In terms of the monies you're talking about, I think you're right on in terms of some people will put that money aside for a further rainy day. Well, the rainy day is here. I mean, we're talking now possibly about evictions. we're talking about additional expenses in sending a kid to school or not sending him to school. If you've got to keep your kid home and virtually school him, and he's 8 or 9 years old, you need to get a babysitter or a helper so you can go to work, or you can't go to work. And by the way, I think the amount of people who are basically sitting on their hands and collecting this money, I think they're few and far between. We all are going through this lockdown period. This is not pleasant. We're all human beings. We need to be doing things. And when we're not doing things, we go crazy. That's why the amount of violence, for instance, in New York City has picked up. That's why the amount of drug addiction and alcohol consumption has risen. People want normalcy. They don't want any handouts.
We only have 1 minute left, Jim.
Oh, that's impossible.
1 minute.
You keep shortchanging me.
You were on a roll this morning.
Rock and roll. Anyhow, please, pay attention. Write your senator, your congressman. By the way, the Russians say they have a vaccine. Don't believe them, okay? The Russians are our enemies. Vaccine, Trump is going to try and talk about it. Let him and his family take this thing, which is yet proven in Russia. Let them take it first. And I wouldn't take any vaccine that isn't vetted for a longer period of time. The Russians haven't even vetted it. They've given it to 100 people. Okay, guys, stay safe. Keep your morale up.
All right,
exercise. Goodbye.
Bye.
Have a good week.
Bye-bye. We'll speak to Jim again next week with Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio.